Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning, and please be sure to check out all the announcements that are in the back of the bulletin to see what's happening here. Just a few things to highlight for today and for next week. Today we will have our First Communion students taking their First Communion today, so when it comes time for communion, we ask that the first few tables be reserved for those students and their immediate families. When it comes time, then they just come on up and be up here at the communion rail for that. And let's see, the new communion students were Levi Garcia, Everly Gomert, Charles Cook IV, Riley Arguelles, and Brogan Owen. And then let's see, next Sunday we will be having new members join our church. And so if you know of anybody else who has not contacted the church office or me about joining, please have them call or come by the office. Let them contact us before next Sunday. And also next Sunday then, Texas Lutheran University President Dr. Cottrell will be here to give a brief temple talk before the worship service. And then she will be here after the worship service to talk with anybody that would like to hear about Texas Lutheran University. And so that's next Sunday as well. All right, and I think we got Kim. You got an announcement?
Good morning. Today is the last day to purchase your spaghetti supper tickets for our fundraiser for the kids going to camp. So if you haven't done so, it's going to be February 16th after church. You can pick up your spaghetti plates over at the kitchen. And then if any of your kids still have tickets, those need to be turned in to me today during the Sunday school hour or after church. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Kim. Lori, do you have an announcement?
Good morning. Wednesday will be our mother and son dinner. If you have not RSVP'd and you plan to come, please RSVP to myself or to the church office, as I have plans to have corsages and boutonnieres, and I will need a count. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Lori. Are there other announcements? Anybody else? If not, then I invite you to rise as we open with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, Give to Our God Immortal Praise.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God,
let us pray. O God, you know that we cannot withstand the dangers which surround us. Strengthen us in body and spirit, so that with your help we may be able to overcome the weakness that our sin has brought upon us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson is a reading from Jeremiah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 71, and we will read it responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. Be my strong rock. a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. Our second lesson is a reading from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all of my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except the widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever gotten stuck in a rut or think that your life is nothing but being stuck in a rut? You get up in the morning, you get dressed, you have something to eat, and you go to work or you go to school. Next morning, you do the very same thing over and over again. And when you get to work or to school, it's the same thing. It's the same teachers, same students, or it's the same work people that are there, same customers. It just seems like things just go on and on the same. And you think you want some excitement. I know there's many stories of kids who grow up in small communities, and they just can't wait until they get out of high school, and off they go into the big wide world, either off to college and are off to work to large cities or other places, exciting places. But you know, with a lot of those, they eventually come back. Many people actually come back. They miss their hometown. They miss where they grew up. It doesn't seem like a whole lot of things exciting happen in a small town, in a hometown. Yes, there's incidences that happen, but over the course of the years, it just continues to roll on just as it is. And sometimes we want things new. We want things exciting. But at the same time, it is comfortable to know what's going to happen. I mean, even here in church, you know, we come to church on Sunday morning. We know pretty well what we're going to expect. Yes, we have different hymns. Yes, the sermons are different each week. Prayers are a little bit different each week, but it follows that same order. There's a pattern to it. And not only on Sunday mornings, just going through the liturgy and the pattern of the service order, but then also, too, throughout the year, because you have the seasons of Christmas, of Easter season, and in the summer, the whole Pentecost season, and the other holidays that come up as well then, too, like Thanksgiving. It all follows that pattern. And it seems the same, and there seems to be some sort of comfort in there, but at the same time, it seems to get a little bit old, or maybe even a little bit stale. I think all these things are playing here in our gospel lesson for today. The gospel lesson today is a continuation of the story which we started last week. Jesus comes back to his own hometown. This is the place where Jesus grew up. The people knew him. The older people knew him as a child, and maybe he played with their children. People of his own age, those were his playmates. And then as he got older and he developed the skills, learned the skills of being a carpenter, he worked for many of these people. You know, he fixed somebody's front door, or maybe he built a new manger for somebody, or he fixed a wobbly table, or made a new chair, or straightened up the rafters in their house. He did the work. He was there in their homes. He was there working with them and being with them. And I'm sure he was well respected. You know, there's not a whole lot about Jesus' childhood stories. I guess really the only one that comes to mind is when Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem. And he stayed behind when his parents went on. There's a line in that story, the very last line in the story, really that tells about his childhood. And it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in years and in favor with God and with the people. And so I'm sure Jesus was well respected as a child and as a young man as he grew up there in Nazareth. But then Jesus left for a little while. Jesus went off and he was there baptized in the Jordan River. And then the amazing stories started to unfold because he came out of the waters and there was that dove alighting on him. And that voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And then Jesus goes off into the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights and is tempted. And then he comes back and he starts his ministry. And he goes back into the region where his own hometown is, the Galilean region. And mainly around Capernaum is where his ministry is done. And on the Sabbath, he would go into the synagogues and he would start to teach.
in the synagogues and speak with the leaders, religious leaders, or speak with the people outside of the synagogue and teach. But then he was also performing miracles of healing and of bringing sight to the blind. And these stories started coming back to Nazareth, to his hometown. And so when Jesus finally returned back to town, they were all excited. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They wanted to see these miracles that he was doing. Well, he did get the opportunity then on the Sabbath when they went to the synagogue for worship. He was invited to read the scriptures. And usually if you read the scriptures, that also meant that you got to speak about them, either preach or teach about those scriptures. And as Jesus read the scriptures, it came from Isaiah, where Isaiah is prophesying that the Messiah will come. Because when Isaiah was prophesying, the people were held captive. They were in captivity. They were slaves of other countries. And they were all scattered out across the known world at that time. And so Isaiah always brought those words of hope, that the Messiah will be coming, that he will lift up the poor. He will bring sight to the blind. He will release the captives. He will proclaim the year of the Lord, that the Messiah would be coming back. And the people of Israel would all be joined back together again, and they would be strong like they were in the time of King David. This Messiah was coming. And that's the passage that Jesus read there in Nazareth when he came to his own hometown. And people were thinking, this is great. This is wonderful. These words that Jesus is speaking, it gives us hope that the Messiah is going to come. And these are words that they have heard all throughout their lives, that the Messiah is coming. But he speaks with such authority. He speaks like he knows what he's saying. But then it happens. Jesus says, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And he says, now doubtless you're going to want to see me perform miracles, just like I did in Capernaum. But no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. And all that excitement, that break from their humdrum life, instead of excitement and joy that the Messiah is here, and that it could possibly even be Jesus, one of their own hometown boys, they couldn't believe it. Either they could not believe it, and it made them angry, thinking that Jesus is spouting out blasphemies, or else they could believe it, and it just scared them, because this was not the life that they were used to. They were worried about all the turmoil and the trouble that Jesus would bring to their town if he actually was the Messiah. It scared them for that much change that quickly. And so they rejected him, even to the point that they were ready to throw him off a cliff. I think that happens to us too, even here in the church. You know, here in the church, we do come. We come to worship. And there's something peaceful and comforting knowing what's going to happen, to know what the order of service will be. Yes, we sing different hymns on each Sunday. We hear a different message, a different scripture reading. But overall, it's pretty well the same week to week to week. And there's some comfort in that, to get out of this chaotic world that we live in, to sit here for an hour and to just be able to sing and to praise and to worship God and maybe visit with some of our friends. There's comfort in that. But at the same time, do we really grow? Is there growth in that? Really, growth comes when things get shaken up, when things change, when we are challenged to come along. And we are challenged from time to time. You may be asked to serve on council or to teach Sunday school or to start a new ministry or to help with one thing or another. And we say, I can't do that. That's not something that I can do. Why would they even ask me to do that? Or I'm too busy to do that sort of thing. And we reject that opportunity. We don't jump on that opportunity. And it's harder for our faith to grow in that respect. The people in Nazareth rejected Jesus. It was too much for them to bear. It was too much. They didn't think that this could be true, that this could happen. A lot of times when we're asked to do ministry, or we have a thought about ministry, that maybe it's something new you'd like to see here. Maybe it's something new that you would like to start, but you don't know where to begin. You don't think you have the skills. You don't know if people are going to accept you or accept this new ministry. You have all these questions, all these doubts. But I tell you what, you just don't learn, you don't grow, unless you start to reach out. Until you start to use those gifts that God has given you in your faith. The people of Nazareth missed out. Jesus was not thrown off the cliff. It was not yet his time. Instead, Jesus just walked to the crowd, and he went on and continued to do ministry in other places. We are here in worship. We are here to give thanks and praise to God. We are here to hear his word. And we are also here to grow in faith, to reach out, not only for our benefits here in this place, but to reach out so that we share those gifts, those benefits, with all the people here in this community and throughout the world. Jesus comes to us. And Jesus is familiar to us, just like he was familiar to those people in his own hometown. But he comes here to give us his word and to lead us into salvation. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Rise for the confession of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
he descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us draw near to the light of Christ, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Almighty God, let this congregation overflow with words of praise to you and deeds of love toward others. Help us to be rich in patience and kindness, and to be lacking only in resentment, irritability, and self-promotion. Let everyone know we are Christians by Jesus' love, which touches them through us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the leaders of the nations, especially our own. Let them heed your words and seek to do your will. Teach them to love justice and hate cruelty. Make them rejoice in truth and reject wrong. Help them wield authority, knowing that they are accountable to you, the Lord of all nations. Give us ears to hear the cries of those afflicted by poverty, injustice, or violence. Give us strength to help them. Lord, in your mercy. With authority and power, Jesus drove out demons, healed the sick, and forgave and raised up people held in bondage to sin, evil, and death. In his name, we pray for all who suffer from any kind of affliction, including Joyce Lomprick, Norma Barber, Joe Barnes, Alberto Jimenez Jr., Rosa Harton, Catherine Glore, Lynn McGurra, Johnny Bednors, Carl Klein, Joyce Meyer, Lois Rimmers, Clarence Smart, William McKinney, and the families of Mark Niemeyer and Catherine Brown. Lord, in your mercy. We commend into your care our loved ones who have died and are at rest in you. Comfort those whose grief runs deep. Help us to be gentle, patient, and kind to one another so we can endure whatever afflicts us in this mortal life. Lead us with all whom you have redeemed by your dear Son into your kingdom. Let our faith become sight, our hope become joy, and your love become our all in all. Lord, in your mercy. For all these things, dear Father, and for whatever else you desire for us in your wisdom and compassion, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Lord and King. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, let these gifts may be for many, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. The body of Christ given for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let's rise.
Thank you.
Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, Let All Things Now Living. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.